Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. This offer expires Sunday, March 24th. To order yours today, go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everybody. This is the Grace Curley Show. It's not Grace Curley. It's Aaron Chadbourne. Have been in for Grace all week. And if you've been keeping track of that, you know today is Friday. And it's time for what we do every Friday here on the Grace Curley Show. It's time for Last Call with Emma Foley.
Last Call!
Time now for your end of the week wrap up with Emma Foley. It's Last Call.
Last Call.
Last Call.
Last Call.
Let's go. Last Call.
Last Call.
Last Call. Let's go.
Last Call, everybody.
Emma Foley, welcome, welcome, welcome. I know people are excited to have you back here on the Grace Curley Show. People that have been missing Grace like to get their dose of the regular. So thanks for being with us.
Of course. And last Wednesday, if you missed it, Aaron and I talked about P. Diddy and the raid on P. Diddy's home. You can catch that podcast wherever you get your podcast or gracecurlyshow.com. I believe it's titled Mo Problems for P. Diddy.
Mo Problems. Well, on that news, I haven't really, since we talked on Wednesday, haven't been following the P. Diddy saga. Are there any updates on how things are going with the Diddy?
We have some updates on Sean Diddy Combs, just a few. It's been pretty quiet on that front, but you are seeing a lot of activity on social media. You have a lot of videos, conversations, interviews with fellow rappers resurfacing that kind of paint P. Diddy as a very creepy guy. And another one has resurfaced from P. Diddy himself backing Joe Biden in 2020. So if you're wondering, is he part of this list, this growing list of people in the rap community who are endorsing Trump? Wrong. So here's P. Diddy in 2020.
We're on the verge of a race war. White men like Trump need to be banished. That way of thinking is real dangerous. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, we don't have no choice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about Biden. I can't say I love the pick either. But hey, we got to get him in office. Mm-hmm. And then we got to hold him accountable.
And you're seeing people who were once had some sort of affinity for P. Diddy are now scrubbing their social media. This includes quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's deleting some of his tweets. People are trying to distance themselves. They think it's going down for Sean Combs. Everything is going to be brought to light. He's going to be exposed for some not so great things he's done.
Didn't Kanye speak out about Diddy like early? Like he claimed that like Diddy was a fed.
Yes. And of course, you got to take everything Kanye says with a grain of salt, but it looks like maybe there's some truth to that. I believe also 50 Cent came out and said he was doing creepy things. Usher's come out and said that he spent time with him while he was a teenager and he wouldn't send his 13-year-old daughter to go hang out with P. Diddy. Things are coming out.
Emma, call me crazy, but like, let's say you're a parent of a teenager or even young person, younger than a teenager. Maybe you shouldn't be sending your kid to hang out with any celebrity adult. Like, this doesn't seem like good parenting.
No, there are plenty of things for children, preteens, and teens to go do, and it's not hang out with 40-year-old rappers. I'm not a parent, so I can't. Yeah, right. What could go wrong?
So, all right. So we've got the latest on Diddy. Emma, one of the things we love about Last Call is you keep track of the things that we've missed happening in the news while we've been focusing on politics and Biden and Ronald McDaniel. What else haven't we gotten to?
All right. And this is news out of Pennsylvania. He's trying to steal the spotlight from the Easter Bunny, but Punxsutawney Phil did make a headline. It's not February 2nd. Punxsutawney Phil shocks caretakers by welcoming two surprise baby groundhogs with his wife, Phyllis. The Furry Prognosticator's Facebook page announced that Punxsutawney Phil and his wife Phyllis recently welcomed two baby groundhogs. You can visit these baby groundhogs at the Punxsutawney Memorial Library, where I suppose you can visit Phil all the time. They have a climate-controlled enclosure with a little viewing window. These are the first children to Punxsutawney Phil ever, and they had no idea that Phyllis was pregnant. It was very unexpected. They went to feed them with their usual fresh fruits and vegetables, and they found two little baby groundhogs. And I know you're asking, Aaron, will they take over the Punxsutawney Phil throne when they are of age to, you know, tell us about the weather and be meteorologists themselves? And the answer to that question is no, because there is only one Punxsutawney Phil. He takes his little elixir of life once a year. It's a secret recipe, and so he will always have the throne. And maybe they'll find other jobs for the other two baby groundhogs.
I like that you preempted the question there, Emma, but that wasn't my question. My real question is, like, how do we know that they're Phils?
That's so true.
Right? Like, they, oh, it was unexpected. Like, she wasn't showing. Like, there is there a cover-up here? Do I sense a groundhog cover-up?
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a Phyllis Tells All in a couple years.
Do the groundhog babies bear any resemblance to Princess Diana's security guard?
That is a really good question. Can we do paternity tests on these children? Are they half groundhog, half something else? We don't know. Did the Easter Bunny stop by Punxsutawney, PA?
Also, how is Jared handling this? I know Jared's kind of anti-groundhog to begin with.
Well, I'm glad to know that these children aren't born into generational slavery for the people right. of Pennsylvania.
They so can choose their good. Future.
Yes.
They can move to California and get a Netflix deal. All right, Emma, I think that's all the groundhog news we can take. What else we got?
All right, we'll move on to Easter. Peeps in the news. Peeps are also, did you know that they're made out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania?
I did not know that, but so, now I do.
Yeah, I got some more fast facts about Peeps that you can take to your Easter gathering this weekend. Just Born is the parent company for Peeps. It's also home to Peanut Chews, Mike and Ike's, and Hot Tamales. Huh. While I was doing this research, slight tangent, did you know that Hot Tamales are just recycled Mike and Ike's?
I mean, I always assumed that, right? Because it's just the same thing as a Mike and Ike. It's just only the red
it's
one.
It's just spicy. So yeah. if the Mike and Ike is deformed or something, they throw it back into the melting pot and they redo it and then add the cinnamon flavor and paint it red, and then they become hot tamales.
I don't know if you listened to the segment we did with Taylor earlier, but that was our thought on jelly beans. Jelly beans are just like, oh, the leftover candy that didn't come out, you throw it in a pot, you melt it into jelly beans, and you call it good. That's exactly, you're confirming it.
I mean, it's just pure sugar, so it makes sense. The Peeps Factory actually says that they recycle Peeps as well, so they're very sustainable. They have a 98% recycling rate, and they say that if a Peep, so you know how it's the classic Peep is yellow with two black dot eyes. If the eye thingy, the where the paint comes out, the edible paint, goes too hard, they call this peepsonality. The peep has too much peepsonality. They melt it down, they put it back, and they remake it into another peep. During busy season, which is right now, the springtime, Peeps makes 5.5 million peeps per day, and that equates to 2 billion peeps per year.
Who's consuming all these peeps?
Oh, ho. And you bring us to our next story, Peeps in the News. Man proposes to Peeps loving girlfriend in Peeps themed hotel called the Sweet Sweet.
Okay, arrest everybody involved in this.
This is
renowned and verb in that sentence was disturbing.
Welcome to Joe Biden's America.
So the Peeps proposal. Just ahead of the Easter holiday, Matthew Rivera took his college sweetheart, Carly Jessup, on a trip to the Philadelphia area to stay in the popular Marshmallow Candy Brand's exclusive Sweet Suite. They woke up in the morning. The large Peep mascot showed up with a bejeweled Peep vessel. Inside the vessel was the ring, and she said yes.
And why?
Because she had to get out of there. If she'd said no, there would have been problems.
She has to be Peep's number one fan.
She said yes until she gets out of there, and then she's ghosting.
Blink twice if you need to be rescued.
So her favorite, I know earlier you were talking about the different flavors of Peeps and why they definitely should not exist.
There are so many more. Sour watermelon.
That is her favorite.
Cake.
So yes,
sour watermelon?
Carly Jessup, whose favorite Peeps candy.
Oh, no, she's a lifer. She's going to stay.
Yeah, she will stay with this guy. And Rivera prefers the classic yellow chick, which means he doesn't like Peeps.
Do you like the chicks better or the bunnies better? Because I think there's very different. Like, because I also like when the peep gets hard. Like, you leave it out in the air and it kind of oxidizes the sugar, and so it's harder.
I haven't eaten a peep. I don't remember the last time I eat a peep. Sometimes I do blow them up in the microwave.
781 texts in to remind us about peep jousting, where I'm not, again, we're not recommending that you do this. Just watch the YouTube videos. You don't need to put your life at risk. But you take two marshmallow peeps, put them on a plate facing each other, put a toothpick on each of them, put them in the microwave. When they expand, see which one punctures the other one with their toothpick.
Okay. Yeah. And don't stand near the microwave.
Don't stand near the microwave. Don't actually do this. Google it and watch it on YouTube, because there are definitely idiots who've done this for you to keep you safe. All right, Emma, what else we got? Any more peeps in the news, or we got anything else we've overlooked this week?
I am following this story on the Amish. Speaking of raiding people's homes, this story, another one out of Pennsylvania, Amos Miller, his farm was raided by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture for tens of thousands of dollars worth of food. So you're seeing this uptick in raw milk, organic eggs. Everyone's kind of returning back to that. You want to shake hands with your local farmer. You want to shake hands with the person that you're buying your meat from, your milk from. Now that this is becoming so popular, the feds, obviously, they can't have that. And you're seeing it trickle down to the states. So this guy, Amos Miller, and he's Amish. So he can't be on social media like everybody else. He can't even give his name to the news. He can't give his picture. So he's definitely disadvantaged here. It's gaining the attention of Congress. You have Thomas Massey weighing in on how the FDA is kind of heading the wrong way. So we'll keep the listeners updated on Amish in the news as we go forward with Last Call. But definitely something to keep an eye on.
We do have a pretty healthy Amish community up in Maine, up in Wales, Maine, other places they've been moving in. And I think one of the reasons why, now that you call it out, Emma, is we have very strong food sovereignty laws that allow people to buy and produce and sell. They did put a right to food in our constitution, which I still don't quite understand. And seems like a scam, and like something's going to happen bad because of it. But food sovereignty has been a big issue, and Maine ahead of the curve on it.
Yeah. The Amish are actually located in 39 of the U.S. states. So you think they're just located in like PA, Ohio, but they're everywhere, and they're growing. They're reproducing like bunnies.
Or like groundhogs, the case might be.
Or like groundhogs.
Emma Foley, thank you for joining us. Last Call with Emma Foley. You can catch her here every Friday on the Grace Curley Show. Emma, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Aaron.
And you know, if your raw milk goes bad in your house, if you let it sit, you might have some of those odors. And you know what you can do, Jared? You can turn to the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I use it in my business. I sell real estate. And when there's ever a bad smell in a house, or, you know, sometimes you get that pet smell on your carpets, or there might be like where the fuel tank is, there might be like a fuel smell. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm does a great job clearing that right up.
Yeah, actually, one of our listeners, Candace, mentioned that she got her oil burner service and got rid of the oil smell. So you definitely want to get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, because it eliminates odors. It doesn't cover it up. It doesn't make it smell flowery. It actually ionizes the air, which creates a super oxygen, and that is what eliminates those odors. It can do the same things with the allergens and pollutants, and now's the time to do it, because this is Friday. This deal ends Sunday. It's the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer. You get one Thunderstorm air purifier, and you get another for free. You go to EdenPureDeals.com and you use code GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACEBOGO. And you can take advantage of the Thunderstorm air purifier BOGO deal. Whatever your needs, get on it. Get the BOGO now at EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACEBOGO.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
We are back on the Grace Curley Show. My name is Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace all week. We're running out of time, though. It's almost time for Grace to be back. She will be back on Monday here on the Grace Curley Show after spring break, after Easter. So hope Grace enjoys this last burst of freedom. I was texting Emma during the break that after she started talking about the Amish and where they live and everything, now Twitter is showing me all of these ads by like Scott Pressler and others talking about registering the Amish to vote and how that could like swing the election. So maybe Amish in the news. Emma's really onto something. And also though, like your phone and your computer always spy on you. Last weekend, this is a pet peeve of mine. I went online and I'm a very practical shopper. I needed kitchen knives and I needed underwear. And so I Google for it. I compare the deals, I buy them. And now all I'm seeing on my Facebook and my Instagram, like all the ads, first of all, they're things that I've already bought. So like, I don't need to see these things anymore, but it follows you around the internet. But I'm also getting like nonstop, like men's underwear ads, which like, I got it. And like, I already bought them. Like, I'm good. Like, you can stop. But then you know, your phone's listening to you and then it shows you stuff that you're talking about. And so you see it on all of these ads. And this is the latest example of it. And I know now, Jared, that I'm going to be followed around because I've been spending so much time Googling Peeps, the different flavors. Like, that's what I'm going to be seeing. Which brings us, by the way, to our discussion of Easter candy and today's poll question. Let's check our poll question one last time. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. It's back in stock now. Our friends at Eden Pure have brought back the very popular BOGO offer. That's buy one, get one. You can order now at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACEBOGO. That's GRACEBOGO at EdenPureDeals.com. They go fast, so don't miss out. Get yours today. You can put it in an Easter basket. Taylor, for the last time this week, what is today's poll question and what are our responses?
All right. Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is what's your favorite Easter candy? Peeps, Cadbury cream eggs, jelly beans, robin eggs, hollow chocolate bunny, or solid chocolate bunny?
All right. I'm going to pass my opportunity to vote for the what I've called the Rodney Dangerfield of Easter candy, the Peep. I'm going to pass over the Peep, and I'm going to pass over the Cadbury cream egg because I agree. It used to be better, and now it like doesn't have the same flavor either. It's just all sugar. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I think it's changed. I'm going to go back to that solid, not the hollow chocolate rabbit because they're cheating you. They're filling it with air. I want the full solid chocolate bunny.
31% say the solid chocolate bunny. Wire to wire, it's been in the lead. 20% for jelly beans. 15% for the Cadbury cream egg. 14% for the Peeps. 11% for the robin eggs. And 9% for the hollow chocolate bunny.
I'm with Taylor, though. Like, I don't know who's voting for jelly beans in this poll. Maybe it's like
20% of the people.
Maybe it's because they associate it. Like that's what they associate with Easter. But that wasn't the question. It's like, what's your favorite? Really? Like, that's your favorite?
My brother and I made the mistake one time of trying the hollow chocolate bunny where you could like that. We saw somebody could pour milk into it. And you could drink the milk. Don't do that. Bad idea.
What happened? It was a mess.
It was a mess because the hollow chocolate bunny, like the seam at the bottom wasn't completely sealed. So it leaked out. And then it cracked and it was just, yeah, it just don't do it. Television lies to you about things.
That's what I'm saying. Even with the marshmallow Peeps in the microwave, like you don't need to do it yourself. Now, and I don't use TikTok because I don't need the Chinese government to steal my identity. But on apps like TikTok or Instagram or really YouTube, you can find other people who have done this for you. So if you have a stupid idea you want to try because you're wondering like what would happen if, the marvel of modern technology is that someone else also had the same stupid idea. So before you put your own life, safety, cleanliness, Easter candy at risk, maybe just look on YouTube and see if someone else has tried it before and you can save yourself. Now, you can't believe everything you see on YouTube, right? With AI, we talked about the manipulation of the royal family's photos and apparently not of their video. But I think, again, like if you're like, I wonder what it'll be like if I pour milk in a Easter bunny, you can probably find it on you probably find it on YouTube. So that's my recommendation. This is me adding value, Jared, in the final minutes that I'm hosting. We have one more half hour coming up. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace Curley, dropping wisdom. We'll revisit Ronna McDaniel because she's been the story of the week. I want to revisit that, button it up, and close out the week with your calls. 844-500-4242 here on The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I am not Grace Curley. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. I've been filling in for Grace all week, but have no fear. She will be back on Monday. Thank you for joining us. I did want to revisit this story about Ronna McDaniel because I think it's important. It's important not only because a Republican was canceled, like we are used to that by now, and really she should have known better before she made the deal with NBC to begin with. I think it's going to take on some different legs because now she's hired a big entertainment lawyer to sue NBC to get her full amount from her contract, which was rescinded, and they have to be anticipating this, and to also sue them for defamation, for hostile workplace. But I want us to revisit how this played out and what is actually at stake. And I just, you know, we played cuts the other day of all of the hosts melting down, of Joe and Mika, of Rachel Maddow, of Lawrence O'Donnell, of Chuck Todd, right? We heard all of that. But I want to take you back. Oh, Jen Psaki. Don't let me forget Jen Psaki, because she couldn't believe she was being compared to Ronna McDaniel. How dare they? Which is like her being surprised by that is just as
how dare you.
It's basically the same flavor of Karine Jean-Pierre not being able to believe that she was asked such an insensitive question about whether or not Joe Biden has dementia. How dare you? So I wanted to, now that we've gotten past it, though, we're in the clearing. There are some things that from this episode that have just like stuck with me. And one of them, I just want to revisit what Rachel Maddow had to say. This is before they decided to rescind the contract and cut ties with Ronna McDaniel, which I think as of yesterday, I haven't checked today because I don't really care what Ronna McDaniel says. She hadn't heard from them directly. NBC had just announced it internally, which I don't do this kind of law, but I would think that maybe if you're going to fire someone or discontinue their contract, maybe they should be the first person you tell, not everyone else in the company. But anyway, now that it's dust is cleared, I want to revisit some of what was said. And again, this was before NBC made the decision to terminate the contract with Ronna McDaniel as a political analyst, paid political analyst. This is one of the things that Rachel Maddow had to say. Play cut one.
And I will also say, you know, if you care what I think about this, I will tell you the fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable. I mean, you wouldn't hire a wise guy. You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office, right? you wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work as a TSA screener.
Okay, so a few things here. Play the beginning of that again one more time, Jared. Come on.
And I will also say, you know, if you care what I think about this, I will tell you.
Stop right there. All right. We don't care what she thinks about this. Okay. And so I apologize to all of you who don't care what she thinks about this, because I also don't care what she thinks about this. So what she goes on to say, though, is you wouldn't hire a made man or a mobster to work in a DA's office. She's comparing what they do on MSNBC and NBC to the function that a district attorney has. What? Then she says you wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work for the TSA. Again, comparing NBC News and MSNBC to the airport screeners who are part of the Department of Homeland Security, keeping people safe. She's comparing what role she plays in society to the role of a district attorney's office and to the TSA. Someone help me understand how a partisan hack that's on an opinion show about politics. You're not a journalist, Rachel Maddow. You're not the Nightly News. And by the way, the Nightly News was not hiring Ronna McDaniel to be their anchor in the way that they've hired George Stephanopoulos or Diane Sawyer, former political activists themselves, who came out of the White House and took a job as the news anchor, right? That's not what happened here. They were paying her to talk about Republican stuff because they don't know any Republicans and they don't have anyone to ask. But to compare what MSNBC does to a district attorney, to compare what they do to a TSA screener, like, no, MSNBC, that is not the role that you play. But since you've brought it up, since you're talking about who we hire to work in a district attorney's office and how you don't want a made man or a pickpocket, Jared, help me remember, what's that case that's going down in Georgia? What are we talking about in Georgia? It's something about Trump's election interference. Who's in the DA's office there?
Fannie Willis, if I am not mistaken.
And who did she hire into the DA's office?
Her boyfriend.
So Loverboy and Fannie Willis conspire together where she's paying him and he's going on vacation with her. And there's the appearance of impropriety. There's the breach of ethics laws. How many times did Rachel Maddow speak out about the actual people that were hiring into actual district attorney's offices? Find me the clip. Find me Rachel Maddow upset about how we're actually conducting the business of district attorney's offices when we're doing the unprecedented prosecution of a former president of the United States on criminal charges. Rachel Maddow doesn't care who's getting hired and who's getting paid in those actual proceedings, but heaven forbid that hiring a former chair of the RNC because she supports Donald Trump to work at NBC News as a paid political commentator is worse than hiring a mobster to work in a DA's office. I just do they not listen to what they're saying? Like, do they not realize how bizarre and bare it is? And by the way, while we're on the topic of the TSA, the only thing it made me think of was, what was the name of that guy who worked for the Biden administration that was stealing people's luggage?
Oh, Suitcase Sam Brinton.
Right? These people don't pay attention to what's actually going on in the Biden administration, what's actually going on in the Georgia DA's office. Instead, they're so focused on the harm to democracy of allowing people with opposing views and allowing access to the air of anyone that disagrees with their political posture. That the fragility, it's more than I can bear. It's more than I can stomach. So again, this chapter is over. I'm sure there's going to be more. There's going to be a lot of hand-wringing within NBC and MSNBC on how this all played out, how we got here, and the various lies that are coming out of NBC, MSNBC, their lawyers, their leadership.
And yelling at the cloud.
Good for them. I think they need to confront the lying liars that Joy Reid, Brian Williams, Rashida Jones, and honestly, if you're the parent company, if you're Comcast, I'd be thinking about firing or divesting or getting NBC off, that toxic organization, off of your books. NBC Universal, what a horrible pickup for them. I think it really lays bare what we're dealing with. And that's the rant. Phone lines are open, 844-500-4242 here on the Grace Curley Show. What I would love to hear too, has anyone found footage of Joe Biden walking off stage at that fundraiser? How did he get off the stage, Jared?
I haven't been able to find anything.
Also, did he give Obama a ride home? Like, did Obama get back on Air Force One when they went home? Or did he leave him in New York?
I'm sure he went back for the ride because Obama lives in D.C., right? So
he does. But if I'm Barack Obama and I get a free ride to New York, I'm not sure if he's going back. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, we always, you watch the end of the story is not just when Biden and Obama come down the short stairs, which is your first indicator that the staff is managing him and they're worried about this man who can literally not walk and chew gum is the president of the United States. Then you go and you watch his appearance on stage and he rises elevates up onto the stage at Radio City Music Hall. They bring out Lizzo and Queen Latifah to rile up the crowd, get them excited. They put Biden on stage with Obama and Clinton. Was Hillary there, by the way? Do we know that answer yet either?
Did not see Hillary there.
Hillary does not appear to
have been. She might have been in Central Park drinking Chardonnay, because I know that's what she likes to do.
So I have so many questions about this event. And if anyone knows and the answer, you can call 844-500-4242, the number here at the Grace Curley Show. You can text in on the text line 617-213-1066. You text the word Curly and then your message, and we'll read on the air. We'll know whether or not any of our listeners, our super sleuths, can help us solve these mysteries. That's what we're wondering here at the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace Curley. We'll take your calls and answer these questions, if we can, when we come back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back on The Grace Curley Show on this Good Friday. Happy Easter to all of you who celebrate. I am not Grace Curley. My name is Aaron Chadbourne. I've been filling in all week. But we're careening toward the end. All good things must come to an end. Grace will be back on Monday. I'm sure you miss her. We'll be happy to see her. So happy Easter to Grace, to Will, to her daughter. Like, they're celebrating Easter. There's nothing more fun than Easter with a kid. I've been talking about this Joe Biden fundraiser event. And they have, by the way, all these, like, you know, professional photos of the event. The press hasn't shared any of him walking out the event. There's the picture of Stephen Colbert, who moderated the panel. Right. This is what I like. Right. The Rachel Maddow and everyone, like, they make a big deal about having a political person come on as a political analyst. But we have a fake news host hosting the president and the former three presidents, because that's where people get their news these days. That's where that, like, I mean, the president is a joke, so I can get why it would be Stephen Colbert. And Biden took flack yesterday, too, for not attending the wake of the fallen officer, Jonathan Diller, whose wake was going on Long Island. You know who did stop by, though, was Governor Kathy Hochul. She did stop by. So Eric Adams stopped by. Kathy Hochul stopped by. But did you hear that people asked her to leave? Do you think that's appropriate, or is that out of bounds, Jared? Like, should people be happy that the governor showed up, or should they want her to leave?
If she didn't know the person personally, wasn't invited, I can understand it, but also it's the governor. I probably would have just let her show up and leave, but I don't know.
Well, and it doesn't sound like the family told her to leave. A person was yelled, get out of here. So the story in the New York Post, Governor Hochul asked to leave the wake for slain NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. It says people were heard shouting from inside, get out of here. But we don't know if it was the family that wanted her to leave. Someone wanted her to leave, and she stopped in. I will, having worked for Governor LePage and knowing how the left treated him and these stories would come out, I think it's a credit to her that she stopped by. Credit to her, she didn't try to become the story. I think when a member of law enforcement and you're the governor, head of the executive branch, like, I think it's appropriate for you to stop by, for you to pay your respects. If they don't want you there, leave. Great. But I think it's fine. I think it's good that she stopped in. I think it's fine that they wanted her out, too. That's no problem. And you want to honor their wishes. But good on her for at least showing up, which is more than what Joe Biden did. I can't imagine he would have been well received. Can you imagine? I mean, you had the people outside of his fundraiser yelling at him to go away. I mean, is there anywhere that he goes where people he's really welcome? That's why he's got to invite Lizzo and Stephen Colbert and Barack Obama and even Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton and Lizzo, by the way, are getting criticism in the press because Bill Clinton, of course, long history of being accused of sexual assault, impropriety, Monica Lewinsky scandal, Me Too movement brought it back up again, that he used his position to over this young intern, he inappropriately used his position for have a sexual relationship. Me Too movement kind of brought that back up. Lizzo herself being sued right now for various abuse of her backup dancers, some of them considered sexual in nature. So I really think that it's who you surround yourself with. But Joe Biden does that in order to take away from the fact that no one's excited to be there for him. The people outside weren't excited. The people inside, You have to imagine they were more excited to see Lizzo and Barack Obama than they were to see Joe Biden. Do you think that bothers him? Do you think he like goes home, rides back on Air Force One, probably not in the presidency because Obama's on board and he gets the big boy chair? But do you think he goes back feeling like, oh yeah, I nailed it? Or is he like, I wish I were that cool?
He wishes he was that cool. It's a good thing Willow the cat is such a good dodger, because if not, she'd be getting kicked when he got back.
To Joe Biden's credit, there is a story on Twitter, and I haven't confirmed it, so I don't know if it's true or not, but he did apparently make a joke at the fundraiser at Boeing's expense, saying that he doesn't sit by the door on Air Force One.
All right, that's good.
I'll give him that one. But he's really more of a train guy anyway. It's like, I wonder why when he gets on Air Force One, he's like, oh, where's the train, Jack? I wish the train does go to New York. He could have saved taxpayers lots of money and saved us all of the gridlock in traffic if he just took the train.
Well, he can't take the train after the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed.
Oh yeah,
he can't. The rails are gone.
Has the White House acknowledged that yet, by the way? I haven't seen anyone do cleanup on that. Like, he came out instantly and talked about how he'd been over that bridge many times commuting between Baltimore and Delaware, going on both by car and by train. And there are no train tracks on the bridge, which, again, our hearts go out to anyone impacted by that. And I think next week there are going to be more and more stories that's going to mount as time goes on about the economic disruption and this cleanup. And I know there are some stations that are carrying kind of minute by minute as they're removing wreckage, as they're taking care of it. It's going to be a big cleanup effort. And there's also going to be a lot of scrutiny about how it gets paid for as they pay for it. And I think a lot of our listeners are probably in the camp of they don't want to be on the hook for paying for the cleanup, but it's gonna be put back together. But Biden can't get it through Congress anyway. He's not gonna be able to get it through Congress. And when they do, they're gonna attach so much stuff. It's not gonna be just about this bridge. All right, do we have time for one last call? Let's go to the phone lines. Is Jonathan there? Jonathan, you're on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi.
Hey, Jonathan.
You mentioned the actress Rashida Jones earlier. And I'm wondering what she did. Did you mean to say Rashida Tlaib?
It's a good question. I was trying to refer to the president of MSNBC. So if I misspoke on her name, that's what we're talking about. I do appreciate, though, that Rashida Jones, the actress, she is not at fault in Ronna McDaniel's firing. Rashida Tlaib, I haven't seen her weighed in on this story. But I think there's a lot of blame to go around. MSNBC president is Rashida Jones. Yeah. So that's the name of the president of MSNBC, is Rashida Jones. That's what I meant. There are other people with similar names, but thank you for checking in. Rashida Tlaib has been absent from the news this week, but have no fear. She'll be back. She might have been. I haven't checked. Was she in Times Square protesting President Biden?
Probably.
Who was the one that was on TikTok, like, had that video? Was she the one that was shouting at the president and carted out?
I mean,
someone should check.
Yeah, you kind of had to have some. If you didn't have the cash, you had to at least have some cachet to get in there. So that might have been.
But you saw from the video, and if you haven't seen the video, you can find it on Twitter. The cheapest seats were $250, and those looked like nosebleed seats. So I think it was a $250 protest operation. Like, they care a lot about what's going on in the Middle East, but not enough to shell out $100,000 to have Annie Leibovitz take your picture. Jared, it's been a great week. Thank you and the team at the Howie Carr Radio Network
for
all the work you've did. My name is Aaron Chadbourne. It has been such an honor and pleasure to fill in for the talented Grace Curley this week. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you to the Portland Radio Group and WGAN for letting me use your studio. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. Grace Curley is back on Monday. But right now, stay tuned for the one and only Howie Carr.